help us to commence this evening with hymn number 14. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. Hymn number 14.
Thank you. hymn that we've just sung had many references to the voice of God, didn't it? And things that God says. And that is our subject this evening. There are three portions of God's word I would like us to read together. First of all, the first book of Samuel, chapter 3. The first book of Samuel, chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house for ever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering for ever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Then if you would turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, and we read chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, In the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and Himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? And then lastly, if you would turn to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavours. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up for ever. God bless these portions of his own word to us, and help us each to pray. Kind and ever merciful Lord God Almighty, we are found again at the beginning of a new year in thy house. Oh Lord, thou knowest it is our desire indeed to begin the year with thee, and Lord, may we end it with thee, whether it is, as it were, on the 31st of December, or if our lives should be cut short before then. But whatever portion of this year we know, oh Lord, may it begin and end with thee. Oh Lord, we are favoured to have a place of worship to come to, a place of peace and quietness, and we are favoured to live where we have no outward hindrances to our worship. And Lord, we have no fear of man in that regard. And Lord, we pray that we may not take this for granted, that we may be truly thankful to thee, though it is a blessing that we enjoy so frequently. May it not be the less in our esteem because of that. Oh Lord, every time we come into thy house, may we be truly thankful to thee for this mercy. And, oh Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that we can have easy access to it, and we thank thee for the ability to read and to understand in a natural way what we read there. Oh Lord, again, this is a blessing not granted to all. Think of those who cannot read for whatever reason. Think of those who are deprived of thy word, those that perhaps speak a language or dialect that thy word is not available to them in. Many hindrances, O Lord, but we have it so easily available to us. Again, we pray that it may not be the less in our hearts because of that. Oh Lord, may we prize thy word. Do speak to our souls through thy word. When we read it silently, privately, when it is read aloud in thy house, oh Lord, whenever, in whatever way we take it up, we pray that thou wilt speak to us through thy word. Do, oh Lord, give to us each that desire to learn, to be instructed from thy word. And Lord, if need be, and how close these things come to us, if need be, that we should be reproved and corrected by thy word. And we are told that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for those things, for instruction in righteousness, for doctrine, for correction, for reproof. Oh Lord, we thank thee that it is also for our comfort, for our guidance. So many different applications. But, oh Lord, these things only do us good if thou wilt come and grant that application by thy Spirit. Lord, we can read the truth, but it has no impression upon us without the aid and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Gracious God, we ask that for us each through this year, that thou wilt come and speak through thy word. Impress it upon our hearts. May we not take it up and read for a few minutes and set it aside and feel we have done our duty. Oh Lord, may there be a hunger and a thirst in our hearts as we take it up, a desire that we might grow thereby. Oh Lord, we pray for that blessing upon thy word, and in the services here and elsewhere where it is preached, Lord, do own thy word. We read that thou didst confirm the word, showing that thou wast working with thy disciples by those signs that followed it. Oh Lord, we seek this year that there might be many signs of thy blessing resting upon thy word. May we know it personally, each of us, dear Lord, but may thy church also know it collectively. May there be a pouring out of thy blessing. We're thankful to thee, O Lord, for all that thou hast done in the year that is past. We must not let these mercies be forgotten. And, O Lord, as we venture into another year, we desire that renewal, that refreshing of thy blessing upon thy church. O Lord, do open ears to hear the word of God. Make us, Lord, not only to hear it, but to heed it. May we, Lord, be doers of the word also, as well as hearers of it. Oh, Lord, we need thee so much day by day to help us to do these things, to put into practice thy word. Lord, we come so very far short. We pray for thy pardon of all of those sins and failings. And Lord, we pray that we might have in our hearts that refreshing, that renewing of a right spirit. Oh Lord, or if some have not known thee until now, that this year might be when thou wilt create a clean heart within them. Oh Lord, whatever it is that thou seest we need, we pray that thou wilt come and speak those words to us with power. Lord, we would commit our country to thee, the Queen and her family and those in the government and all those in positions of natural power and authority. Lord, we commanded to pray for them, and we would do so. We trust in the right spirit, desiring that thou wilt guide and direct them so that they shall lead us in the right way, Lord, that they might set a good example in our land. And Lord, that even there might be those raised up or those called by grace amongst them who shall have the fear of God in their hearts, who shall have a desire for thy wisdom, an acknowledgement that they need wisdom from thee. Lord, do direct the nation in paths of peace and of righteousness, we pray. May thy word be upheld once again. May our laws again be based upon it and not contradicted. Lord, we ask a great thing, but thou art an almighty God. We feel so often condemned that we do not have faith when we pray for these things. Thy word says, if we pray thus, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. How solemn to be left to speak right things, but with an unbelieving heart. Lord, we pray for an increase in faith then as we commit these things to thee. We pray that thou wilt pour out thy spirit upon those that sit in darkness, those that need that great light of thy gospel. Oh Lord, only thou canst do this great thing. Only thou canst give spiritual life in the dead, dark, cold heart of one that knows thee not. Oh, we pray, though, that there might be those evidences that thou art still at work, thou art still quickening souls. Lord, gather them in, compel them to come in and fill thy house with praise. Oh, Lord, may there be many that come and tell what thou hast done for their souls. Lord, it may not be those outside our congregations. There may be those within who as yet are in darkness. Lord, we do pray that we may not rest in the outward appearance only. Lord, every one of us here has done the right thing. We look the part. But Lord, may there be that exercise in our soul. May there be that life within, that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And Lord, thy promise to such is that they shall be filled. Oh Lord, may this year be in that sense a day of plenty, a day of the filling of souls. Oh Lord, meet our needs, each and every one, however different they may be. Oh Lord, go before each. We especially commend the children and the younger people to thee, Lord, that thou wilt guide them, direct their lives. Perhaps, no doubt amongst them, there will be those who have various decisions to make in concerning their education, the subjects to study, the places in which to study it, and many other decisions. So, Lord, do guide them. Do give to them a prayerful heart concerning this, as well as to parents and grandparents and others concerned. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou watch over them and keep them safe, and that they may know the fear of the Lord in their hearts, even whilst they are young, to keep them from evil. Oh Lord, we all of us of every age need that still. We do not grow in ourselves resistant to temptation. We do not grow more holy. Oh Lord, we every one of us need that same keeping power to uphold us and enable us to resist the devil. Thy word says he will then flee from us. Oh Lord, we need that strength that thou dost give. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us as we continue through this service. Oh Lord, may there be those ears that thou wilt open to hear thy voice. Lord, do speak unto each and every one, if it may be thy holy will. Oh Lord, take some part of the service, the hymns, the reading of thy word, the things that we shall say, whatever it may be, the thoughts that there may be no audible word, but the thoughts that thou art direct in our minds. Lord, may there be something of profit for each one. May there be something that the youngest shall be able to understand and remember, that shall be for the good of their souls. Oh Lord, if there are those that need deep things, thou art able to give that also. But, oh Lord, may it be as it was with that great multitude, that they shall all eat and be filled. Oh Lord, do look down upon us in thy mercy. Whatever our differences, we are common in this, that we are sinners in thy sight. We have every one of us come short of thy law. We have every one failed thee, turned our back upon thee, rebelled against thee. Oh Lord, for those that know it, those that have that conviction of sin in their heart, Lord, do bring each to confession and repentance of our sin. If any do not really feel it or know it yet, Lord, do speak to such a soul. Thou art the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the one who has sinned. Oh Lord, do grant that none may go on complacently, not concerned about these things. Lord, where there is that desire for mercy, thou art a merciful God. Thy mercies endure forever. Oh Lord, may there be encouragement from thy word for those that seek a pardon, seek the healing of their soul. Oh Lord, do come and apply that precious blood, that saving, atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we would pray, we trust in a different spirit, but with the words of the Pharisees, his blood be on us and on our children. So Lord, do hear us, do hear the silent prayers, the perhaps the feelingly inarticulate prayers, those that can only sigh or groan, as it were. Lord, thou knowest the heart, thou knowest the desire. Do hear those things and bring answers of peace and comfort, if it may be thy holy will. We ask all these things in thy name and for thy sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1134. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above, our waiting souls set free. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, our every thought and step preside, and draw us after thee. 1134.
as the Lord may be pleased to help us each this evening in considering his word, I would invite your attention to just five words, really, you will find in the psalm that we read, Psalm 28, and a part of David's prayer in verse 1. Psalm 28, and just these words in verse 1, be not silent, excuse me, be not silent to me. The whole verse reads, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Be not silent to me. I was led to these words during the prayer meeting at home on Monday morning. Some of you kindly joined us then, and as one of the brethren were praying, there was something, I honestly don't remember who it was. I think it was one of the brethren from here, and I do not remember the exact words, but there was something in that in that prayer desiring for God to speak. And immediately these words came into my thoughts concerning this evening's service. David had this great prayer, this great desire in his heart to hear the voice of God, that God would say something to him. It's not really a very specific prayer, is it, when you think about it? Be not silent to me. It doesn't give us really any indication as to what exactly David hoped or was praying for God to say. We don't really have any indication. Clearly, the way that he speaks of the wicked and so on, it evidently was a time when he was oppressed, a time when he felt the need of God to protect and to keep him. He really rejoices in this, doesn't he, that the Lord is his strength and his shield. But we don't know in particular what it was that David wanted. But it may be so with some of us, either at this time or at other times. I was speaking to one of our own congregation recently, and she said how difficult sometimes it is to be precise, as it were, as to what we want the Lord to do. We know that we have a problem, a situation, and all we can do really is, as it were, and bear with the limitation of these words, but we want to draw it to the Lord's attention. And perhaps this is where David was. All that he could really say was, be not silent to me. Say something. Now, there are three aspects to this that I've felt led to in bringing this word to you this evening. Firstly, the consequence if God is silent to us. Secondly, why we may desire, and I realise there may be many other reasons beyond those we can speak of, but why it is that we desire the Lord to speak and what he says. And thirdly, the consequence if he does speak. So there's a consequence to God not speaking, and there is a consequence when he does speak. Now, this verse really then to start with shows us the consequence, doesn't it, if God is silent. lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. What a solemn situation that is. What a solemn consequence to those who never hear the voice of God. And that will be so, won't it, for each and every one who never hears the voice of God, to whom God is always silent, as it were, in that spiritual sense of speaking to the soul. I know we could say that the whole creation around us speaks of God's power and his goodness and so on, and so it does, but you'll understand what I mean. David is quite clear, isn't he? If thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. And Hezekiah was very clear also, wasn't he, on this point. The grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. It is a very solemn thing indeed, isn't it, to be completely without hope. We may be in and do come into some very difficult situations, don't we, in our lives, problems, illnesses, troubles of various kinds. But there is hope, isn't there? We sometimes say, and perhaps we say it rather glibly, but we say, while there is life, there is hope. Well, certainly that is true in a spiritual sense. Where there is spiritual life, there is hope still. But those that go down into the pit have no hope. We can't, I don't think our minds can really fathom at all, really, what hell is really like. We have that word in Psalm 73 that comes close to it. They are utterly consumed with terrors. And we have this thought that in that terror, there is no hope. They cannot hope that it will ever improve. Their situation will never get any better. Now, that is the consequence of God forever being silent to us. Now, if we have some understanding of that, we can begin to understand why, although David had no specific, or doesn't express any specific desire, why this is such a wonderful prayer and such a needful prayer on its own. Be not silent to me. Because if God does speak to our soul, then we shall not be one that goes down into the pit. We had in our reading, didn't we, in Samuel, that word of God that when he begins something, he will end it. And when he begins a work of grace, when the soul is born again, he will not leave that soul until that work is complete. And when it is a finished work in his sight. So there is this blessed consequence then, if God does speak, if he is not silent, that we have a hope in his mercy. Now, it may be then to come on to this desire for God to speak. It may be, certainly will be to begin with, that there may be those doubts in our mind, as it was with Samuel. Is it God? Well, really, more than that, he had no thought that it was God speaking to him, did he, at the first? He clearly heard an audible voice. Now, don't dismiss that for a moment. God does, at times, speak audibly to his people. I know that. But I don't want you also to restrict it to think, well, if I've never heard an audible voice, then I haven't heard the voice of God. More frequent is that, we might say, inner speaking, speaking into our mind, into our soul, impressing his word upon us. Now, it does not matter which it is. The great thing is that God is not silent. Now, Samuel heard this audible voice, and naturally enough, he thought it must be Eli. I don't suppose anyone else was in that vicinity overnight, and surely it must be Eli. And so he demonstrates a very good spirit, doesn't he? No grumble or complaint about being woken, but with some haste, immediately going to Eli, "Here am I." The expression "here am I" really speaks of a readiness to move into action, doesn't it? Give me a command, give me some instruction, here am I, ready to do it. And bear that in mind, that is important for our subject. Now, he went to Eli three times, "Here am I, ready to do your bidding." And of course, on the third time, Eli then perceived that it was the Lord who was speaking. Eli was given great grace here, wasn't he? He doesn't interfere. He doesn't say, "Well, I'm the priest, surely the Lord ought to be speaking to me. I'll go and, as it were, I will be ready for the Lord to speak to me." No, he perceived that God was speaking to Samuel. And with much grace, he, as it were, he permitted that to take its course. And so Samuel went and lay down again, and God called again, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel then gave, not quite, but almost the answer that Eli had instructed him to, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Again, notice the words, "thy servant." Here was an acknowledgement, though as yet he did not know God, but here was an acknowledgement in his heart that the Lord had a right to instruct him, a right to direct him. And there is clearly here an obedience in the heart of Samuel, isn't there? Now, we don't know exactly how old Samuel was. Certainly he was at least six, because he had five brothers and sisters by this time. But he may well have been somewhat older, although clearly still a young person. And I just want to notice this, that the word that came to Samuel was not an easy word, was it? It wasn't something very encouraging in a natural sense. It wasn't something that his heart received with great joy and gladness, was it? He was given a very difficult commission, wasn't he? God told him the judgment that he was going to bring upon the house of Eli. And it was clearly for Samuel to bring that message, that sad, difficult message, solemn message, faithfully to Eli. I want to come back to Samuel later on, if the Lord will, but just notice this, that though it was a very difficult word, he was obedient to it. He didn't say, "I'm too young to bear this message." He didn't say, "Well, that will upset Eli, I won't pass it on." He was obedient, though in a very difficult situation. But as it was with Samuel, so it will be with each of the Lord's people. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. You see, though this was a beginning, clearly for Samuel, it was not the end. The Lord spoke to him again. We read at the end of the chapter, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. A deepening, further instruction, more teaching. And that is how it will be with the Lord's people. Now there is another reason that came to my thoughts why we should have this great desire that the Lord would not be silent to us. And that is in this sense, that it is a confirmation that we are his people. The Lord himself spoke in those well-known words in John chapter 10. He describes himself really, or likens himself to being a good shepherd. And he says this, the sheep hear his voice. Now, that is when we know that the Lord is not silent to us, but is speaking to us. That is a wonderful confirmation of being among the sheep of God, isn't it? The sheep hear his voice. But again, notice this, there is a consequence to that. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I spoke to you, those of you at the Sunday school, not last year, but the year before, concerning that very visible demonstration of this that we saw in the Isle of Lewis, how in an area of strip fields, very narrow, all fenced off with many different sheep in each strip of land, how the shepherd, in his case using a whistle, but if you like, speaking, calling to his sheep, how the sheep in that only one strip of land responded. And they followed him. He was in a vehicle driving down parallel to the strip of land, but they followed. They knew his voice, and not one sheep in any of the other strips of ground followed him. Not one sheep took any notice whatsoever. I noticed it very carefully. They all took no notice whatsoever. But the sheep that were clearly his, every single one of them responded. And, of course, in due course, he came to the gate and fed them. And obviously they knew that that was what was going to happen. The sheep knew his voice. And they followed him because they knew it. Those of you who were at our prayer meeting will know this was the subject there, following the Lord. I don't want to repeat what was said then, but what need there is for a true discipleship. Would we really hear the voice of the Lord? Well, if we do, we shall have to follow him, won't we? We should follow him. It shouldn't be a question, as it were, of duty, if you like. It would be a question of love. There should be a desire to follow him. They recognise the voice. They want to hear it again and again. This will not be a prayer that we shall pray once in our life, will it be? Not silent to me. It will be something we need to pray again and again. Speak, Lord. Let me know that thou art still there. Let me know that I am a sheep. Now we know that God is not fickle. If he calls one and we are a sheep, it will always be the case. But oh, we can be so tempted, can't we? I've ceased to follow him. Perhaps I was deceived in the first place and I didn't really know him. Well, this is a test, isn't it? When he speaks again, when he speaks again, do we recognise the voice? the sheep know his voice and they follow him. And then this thought also, what do we desire the Lord to say? Well, of course, there are many things at different times, as it were, that we shall desire to hear, but really trying to find something that, if you like, encapsulates all of those things. Is it not this, the prayer that David makes in Psalm 35? Say unto unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, be not silent to me, but say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. How precious indeed are these words, aren't they, to the seeking soul? Well, you may not know much, you may not feel you can pray very well. I feel that increasingly myself, how poor our prayers are. I'm so thankful, this comes to mind, it may be a help to some, that the Lord himself prayed the same prayer, using the same words, three times. I find my prayers very repetitious, but there's nothing wrong with repetition if it is sincere in our heart. There was no fault in the Lord's prayer in the garden, was there? Though he reused the same words three times. It's when it's a vain repetition that we need to be fearful. But oh, we struggle to pray at times, don't we? But surely we can say this, it is our desire, isn't it, that the Lord will say something, and Lord, do say this, say unto my soul. You see, this is a spiritual matter, isn't it? Again, one can only say personally how much of our prayers seem to be for providential things, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with praying about providential things, but oh, sometimes they seem to exclude any spiritual desire, and that that is wrong. Yes, we need the Lord to help us in daily life, in providential matters, but we need this, don't we? Say unto my soul. Oh, speak to my soul. Now, only a soul that has been quickened into life will be able to hear, won't it? The dead soul, the soul left in spiritual darkness, can't hear anything. Only when we are born again and quickened into life shall we hear. But Lord, give me this encouragement. Give me this confidence. I am thy salvation. There's no salvation in anyone else or in anything else, is there? Not in our own efforts, not in what anyone else can do for us. It has to be God saying, I am thy salvation. Or may we be delivered from any other hope or confidence in anything at all beyond that. Now, the Lord will encourage his people. He will speak to them. He will hear these prayers. May not be in exactly the way, and almost certainly not in the same time frame that we may have in mind. But the Lord is merciful, isn't he? Verse 6 of this Psalm 28 tells us, blessed be the Lord, worshipped, praised, honoured, glorified in my heart. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. And that wonderful beginning to Psalm 116. Oh, can you say this? I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Beautiful words, aren't they? Oh, to live in that experience more frequently and for longer, as it were. I love the Lord because he hath heard me. And we know that he's heard us because he speaks, because he sends an answer. Oh, be not silent to me. Now, I want to come more especially to this consideration then that there is a consequence to God speaking to us. And really, it is that we must speak and that we must act. My thoughts went first to Jeremiah. You may well recall how that at the beginning of his prophecy, we find that God spoke to him. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. A prophet has to speak. He has to have a message from his master, and he has to deliver it. Now, some amongst you, the ladies certainly may say, well, then this doesn't apply to me. I shall never be a preacher. I can switch off. Well, no, you can't. True, you will never be a public preacher in that sense. That's right. It's not the role of the woman. But every one of the Lord's people is preaching in some way. Every single one is making a statement. Every one is witnessing. Every single one is testifying. Now, we are doing that through the way that we live our lives. We're doing that in every conversation that we have, in everything that we do. We are being watched, we are being seen. Now, what is the witness that we are giving? Is it one that is faithful to God's word? Or are we merely witnessing that we're being disobedient? Are we testifying that we're ignoring what God has said? It's one thing or the other, isn't it? There's no kind of neutral territory in this matter. Our lives, every aspect of our lives, are saying something about us. Now, you see, faced with this, Jeremiah, he did not feel adequate to it. And maybe what the Lord is speaking to one here, you don't feel adequate for. It may not be to be ordained as a prophet, as it were, but there may be something, and your spirit goes with Jeremiah's spirit. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. What a response to God speaking to him. He wasn't in any doubt that God was speaking, was he? Our Lord God, he says. Really, he's saying there's a mistake, isn't there? Lord, hast thou forgotten that I cannot speak? I'm only a child. Doesn't mean literally a child, does it? But he felt his inadequacy for this task. Oh, what a sad spirit. Now, I personally, and I expect you feel the same, we have no stones to throw at Jeremiah. We can't say we should be any better. Indeed, we know by experience that we're not. But when we see it there starkly, in black and white, you can't excuse that response, can you? Jeremiah was wrong, completely wrong. He should not have replied in that way to God. And if there is that same spirit in our heart over what God is saying to us, then we are equally wrong. It just comes to thought to my thoughts, Peter, you know, how he saw that vision of the sheets let down with all manner of beasts in it, and the word of the Lord, and again, notice he had no doubt it was God speaking. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. That's really, I hope you understand what I mean. That's an impossible thing to say, isn't it? You cannot say not so and then say Lord, because the word Lord means master. And if we're acknowledging that he's our master, we cannot say not so. But sadly, that is often our spirit, isn't it? I cannot speak. Well, the Lord didn't leave it there, did he? The Lord had something else to say. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. It doesn't say there, you won't feel like a child. He doesn't say you'll feel completely sufficient, but he says, don't make that an excuse. Don't say that. I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then notice this, the Lord goes even further. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, three things then that he said. Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. This is how Jeremiah would have to go, wasn't it? With the words of God that God had put in his mouth. And this is how we shall have to go to fulfill the command that God gives to us. It is by the strength that he gives and with the words that he gives. Again, just comes to my thought, Moses had a similar response, didn't he, when God commissioned him to go and speak to Pharaoh. I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant. I'm of a slow speech and a stammering tongue. God said, who made man's mouth? Who made man's mouth? Or here the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. That, again, is not an excuse to be made, is it? We must go trusting the Almighty God of creation, who made that mouth, gave us the ability to speak. Now, it's why in particular we read that 38th chapter of Isaiah, speaking of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick unto death. Again, we don't have the detail of that illness, doesn't matter. It was a very serious situation. He was 39 years old. Now, when that word of the Lord, and again, it was very clear, it was a word from God to him. Thou shalt set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, it does appear, I hope I'm not reading incorrectly into the word of God, but it does appear to me that initially Hezekiah was left to a very rebellious and hard-hearted state. It seems that in all this chattering, to use the word that he himself used afterward, there is much rebellion and resentment, really, in his heart, isn't there? Those phrases that we read that he spoke at that time, the cutting off of my days, I'm deprived of the residue of my years. I think you can only be deprived of something that you have an entitlement to. Hezekiah clearly felt that he was entitled to a longer life. As I've said, he was only 39 years old. And there may be much rebellion in our hearts if the Lord speaks that he's going to take away something that is dear to us. May not be our life, it may be. But there may be this sense that, well, I'm entitled to that. No, we're not. Well, remember the late Mr. Paul Crane saying that we're all on borrowed time. Somebody had said to him about somebody who was very old and very sick that they were on borrowed time. And he said, no, we're all on borrowed time. And I understand exactly now what he meant. Our life is in the hand of God. We're not entitled to expect to live to 70, 80, 90 years. You know, the average age gets ever greater, doesn't it? But there's no entitlement. We can't say I'm deprived of something if the Lord says not so. Now, Hezekiah was full of words, wasn't he? I noticed especially, I would like to have taken the time to count them up. You might like to do so. In that beginning of what he records, of what he said, how many times he says, I. It's all about me. I'm deprived. I shall do this. I said that. There's nothing of God there, really, is there? Hezekiah was in a very poor state at that time. And then it would appear to me that then the Lord, as you find, if you read the account in Chronicles, I think it is, isn't it? You find that Isaiah had walked away and left him. That seemed to be the end of it. But as Isaiah was in the outer court, I think it's described, the Lord spoke to him again and said, no, go back. I have something else to say to Hezekiah. And so he came back again and he brought that promise, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, I will add unto thy days 15 years. It seems to me at that point, if we were to look at this chronologically, that's where we get to verse 15. Now, Hezekiah has a completely different spirit. And what is his first thought? What shall I say? He was full of words before. And you may know that experience. I think of one, especially in my life, when I was full of words of a complaint about how harsh my working life was and how unjust the things were that had happened at work. Until I came similarly to Hezekiah to be cut off, as it were, and really feeling, what shall I say? It came to me then, preciously, the words of that hymn about how words flow apace when we complain. And it says, was half the breath thus vainly spent in heaven, in supplication said, your cheerful cry, my cheerful cry would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. Not what he hasn't done, how he hasn't answered all these things that I wanted, but what he has done. This is wonderful, isn't it? What shall I say? Seems to be at first almost struck down by the goodness of God to him. And then he does go on, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me. Ah, the Lord wasn't silent to him, was he? In his time of great need, the Lord didn't just, like Isaiah, turn his back and walk away. The Lord said, no, there's something else to say. He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. And then, oh, how his words change then, don't they? O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Oh, yes, all this teaching, all these things that cut against what I had intended or what I had planned, but in these things is the life of my spirit. And He goes on, doesn't he? I commend these words to you. We don't have the time now to look at them in detail, but just to look at this. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, because God spoke to him. Oh, if God had been silent, he would have been like those that go down into the pit, wouldn't he? But no, he hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. He hath delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And this is it. This is what he would now use his voice for, his power of speech. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. What a different use he now made of his ability to speak, which was a consequence of God speaking to him. Now, briefly, remember that parable that the Lord spoke concerning the one who built his house upon a rock. And although the various trials and tribulations, the storms of life, if you like, came upon it, it did not fall. But the one who built his house upon the sand, of course, found that he experienced the same troubles, but his house fell. There's a beach in Cornwall, I expect some of you have visited it, where there was a man who was determined to prove the Bible wrong. And so he built his house upon the sand, and he said by virtue of its continuing to stand there, it would show that the scripture was wrong. Well, it's a ruin. And you can go and see it, and there's barely one part remaining upon another. Great was the fall of it. The scripture is true. But my point is, we look at that, and I suppose, generally speaking, our attention is taken up with the foundation, the difference between building upon the rock and building upon the sand. But, and this is an important thought, the Lord begins that parable in a very different way, doesn't he? I'm not sure that that's altogether the teaching we should draw from that parable. It begins, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" As I ask you to bear in mind Samuel and his obedience. Though it was a difficult commission, Jeremiah and his obedience, though initially it was not so, but he did go according to what God instructed him. Hezekiah, though rebellious, brought, as it were, to heal, brought to speak praises to God. Well, why do we say, "Lord, Lord," and do not the things which he says? Now, the point of that parable is this: whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them not is like the one building on the sand, the one who's going to come to ruin. The one whose ruin will be visible, as it were, to all. Oh, it's the one who heard and did is the one who had that firm foundation and his house remained. Why? Why? And we need to answer this ourselves, don't we? In that sense, we're all here this evening saying, "Lord, Lord," aren't we? We're all found in the house of God. We're all paying lip service to his word. I hope it goes beyond lip service, but all of us are doing that much. And do not. the things which I say. Oh, if we have this prayer, and it's a good prayer, be not silent to me, then there's going to be a consequence when God does speak, isn't there? We're going to have to do what he says, whatever that may be, wherever it may take us, whatever a commission, if you like, is to be given to us. If we're really going to say, Lord, Lord, from our heart, then we're going to have to do what he says. Now, in conclusion, I said I wanted to come back to Samuel. Samuel had to speak. He didn't have an easy message, as I've already said. But it's those words that Eli said to him that felt we should perhaps bring them as the text, but be that as it may, we mention them now. In verse 17 of that chapter 3, verse 16, Eli called Samuel, Samuel, my son. He answered again, you see this spirit of willing obedience, here am I. And he said, what is the thing which the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. What is the thing that the Lord has said to you? I pray thee, hide it not from me. And you see, there was a solemn consequence, wasn't there? If Samuel had withheld it, if he had not spoken and told what the things God had said to him, God do so to thee. And more also, I think, really, we understand by that, God bring this same curse that was to be upon the house of Eli upon you if you hold your peace, if you won't speak, if you won't tell me what the Lord has said unto thee. And verse 18, Samuel told him every whit, every little detail. He didn't withhold anything and hid nothing from him. Well, finish, but let me just finish with those words of Psalm 40. What is the thing which the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. Well, Psalm 40, David says this, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Be not silent to me. What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £765, for which we're very thankful. God willing, the Woolboys will now administer the Lord's Supper at the close of this service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard, and Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners, hear and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. 1070.
Thank you.
pray that thou wilt speak to each one of us through this year, if that may be thy holy will, not to be silent. Lord, speak that word, for thou never speakest a wrong word, a vain word. Oh Lord, whatever it is that thou wilt speak to us, do give us that grace, that faith to walk it out, to put it into practice. May we not hold back, may we not hide thy word which thou hast spoken. Lord, we need so much help to do these things rightly, but it is to the honour and glory of thy name, and that is our desire, that thy name should have all praise, honour and glory. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.